Hello, and welcome to the FinTech Times podcast, focused on discussing the latest FinTech topics and trends from around the world. Established in 2016, the FinTech Times is a global multimedia news outlet centered around the world's first leading FinTech newspaper. We report all the latest and brightest ideas from the FinTech world.
Hi, and welcome to the latest FinTech Times podcast. My name is Francis Bignall. I'm a journalist and lead LATAM correspondent at the FinTech Times. Latin America is one of the world's most promising markets, especially for payments. The LATAM digital payments market was worth $153 billion in 2022, and its digital payments transaction value is predicted to more than double by 2027. But for international companies without a local entity, LATAM might seem like an impossible market to enter, with challenges including language barriers and multiple currencies. In this podcast, we will be hearing from LATAM experts, pay retailers, on how it is helping organizations unlock the true potential of the Latin American market. We'll hear from the company's recently appointed chief commercial officer on why fintechs are playing a larger role in the LATAM region, the increasing demand for alternative payment methods, and why localization matters. So without further ado, I'm delighted to welcome my guests today, Felipe Laranjero, chief commercial officer at Pay Retailers, and Patricia Rodriguez, senior account manager at Pay Retailers. Patricia, Felipe, welcome both. How are you? Patricia, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Francis, how are you?
I'm not too bad, thank you. Felipe, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you very much, Francis, for this opportunity. We are delighted to be part of this podcast and highlight about what Pay Retailers can provide to merchants in Europe to tap the opportunity in Latin America.
And I think that's exactly it, right? There's a huge opportunity there, and a lot of merchants don't really know how to make the most of it yet. So I think today's going to be a great podcast, and I'm really, really looking forward to the conversation. But before we dive into that, I just wanted to see if we could get a bit of an intro on both of you and sort of your roles at Pay Retailers. So Felipe, I'll go to you first. Could you just give us a little bit of background about yourself?
Yes, of course, with pleasure. Thank you very much. So I'm with over 20 years in payment. I've been moving along the value chain during this last over 20 years. I've been working in Latin America 8 years. Originally, I'm from Paris, France, and working also from Europe. So I've been moving location. I've been working in 6 different countries and always moving along the value chain from mobile payment for startups, from large payment firms. Schemes like Visa, and I joined Pay Retailers 2 months ago. So I'm very excited. It's a new beginning, and it's a bit back to the roots because I started actually my career in Latin America. So I'm very excited to bring the energy and the, let's say, skill set to power up the commercial development of Pay Retailer.
Fantastic. It's fun how everything always seems to come full circle, right? You know, start in Latin America and we're back there now. So I'm really excited to hear your insights. And Patricia, how about yourself? Could you give us a bit of insight?
Yeah, of course. Well, I'm, as you said before, I'm senior account manager here at Pay Retailers. I don't have as much experience as Philippe, but hopefully in the future I will get it. But yeah, I've been working in the payments environment for the last 3 years. Mainly focusing on Africa, but for the last 2 years, focusing on Latin America. So yeah, it's an exciting adventure in the payments industry.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you know, similarities are always brought up between Africa and Latin America in sort of the markets that they both hold. So I think the easiest thing, before we break down into like the different countries, which I think is going to be a great conversation, I'm really looking forward to this idea of, you know, really picking out how different countries in Latin America are offering different things for merchants. But I think let's start off with perhaps a more general view, and just let's start with an insight into Latin America as a region and how the payment sector has evolved post-COVID, because, you know, everything was catalyzed and the market seems to have just boomed. So Patricia, I'll go to you first on this one. How has it really evolved?
Well, I think probably the most important impact during COVID and post-COVID times for the payment sector was the increase of digitalization on everyday life. You know, I seen like e-commerce becoming the way to buy. I mean, Francis, to give you some data, before the pandemic, approximately 45% of Latin Americans made an online transaction. After the pandemic, that figure managed to almost double, nearly to 83%. So obviously the presence of international players in LATAM paired with the recovery of the tourism, it's making, you know, the boost in the payments industry in LATAM.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know for any of those that aren't, who haven't heard of it before, at the FinTech Times, we have a series called En Conversa, where we sort of discuss the FinTech Times. And, you know, from being worth less than $50 million in 2016 to $2.1 billion in 2022, it just really goes to show, right, that the market has boomed. And that just works exactly in line with what you've just said there, Patricia, and this idea that, you know, even the, like, for merchants and for consumers, it's just doubled, really. It's just the numbers are crazy in sort of the uptake of digital payments. Philippe, I'd like to go to you first on this one. Why are payment localization services so important for international companies?
It's critical. It's really critical because each country have been developing their own ecosystem. Outside international schemes like Visa and MasterCard, where you have only a portion of this population that have access to the international schemes, you have a very vibrant ecosystem that have emerged in Latin America, thanks also with the rise of the paytech, the local fintech ecosystem, the local digital wallet, that force any company that want to tap Latin America to have different payments method per country. Otherwise, you are not capable to tap the opportunity. And this is very important to understand. Just one single data. Today, about one third of the digital transaction in Latin America are done through local or digital wallet, either local instant payment methods or digital wallet. Payments methods that are not available in Europe. And this is very important to assess before tapping Latin American continent.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure the sort of an example would be like Pix, right? In Brazil, that's one of the biggest sort of local payment services. And I'm sure that, you know, for us so I'm based in the UK and we just don't really we don't have Pix over here, right? So I think for companies that are based in sort of, you know, UK, Europe, countries that aren't accustomed to these alternative payment methods, if you're not prepared and aware of having this sort of local entity or, you know, having something there, you're really missing out, right? Patricia, would you agree with that?
Yeah, for sure. And also, like, I think another good point is, like, the traditional banking structures that are in these kind of countries lacks a robust connection with the international markets. This is why having pay retailers as a local partner there to be able to help you an international business, you know, in entering this market is so important.
Absolutely. And I think If we now, like, break down, for example, this is, again, what I've been really looking forward to discussing, is this, there's over 50 countries in the region, and trying to learn everything about every single one to really make the most of, you know, this blooming market, it can be incredibly difficult. So I think it'd be fun just sort of break down a little bit, looking at country by country. And I think if we start with Colombia and Chile, what makes these countries different to the overall market in terms of, like, their uniqueness and what they really bring from a consumer and merchant's point of view, Patricia?
Well, the thing is, for example, in Colombia and Chile, the international online sales are growing well above the domestic e-commerce revenue. So this is a really high advantage for the international businesses, and especially after COVID. Like, to give you an example, in Colombia, the growing market has encouraged international retailers to launch online shops. Like, for example, H&M recently launched a store in 2022 due to this incredible possibility for the different international businesses.
I love that example because, again, it's one of those that we sort of hear about a lot over in the UK, I think, and, you know, I imagine in Europe as well, it's one of these sort of like household names, right? H&M. But then when you go to Latin America and you sort of think of the challenges, it might not always seem as simple or it's weird. In a way, it does seem simple that just expand, but obviously there isn't that simplicity to it. It is a very complicated process. And Felipe, what are your thoughts on Colombia and Chile and sort of their markets compared to the rest of the regions?
Look, I believe that Chile and Colombia are part of the top four markets in Latin America. So basically, you have really four leaders. Brazil, that is a bit in a kind of another category, Mexico, Chile, and Colombia. And it's indeed also for us at Pay Retailer a top priority. Pay Retailer have bought two companies last year. One, a gateway in Chile, and a gateway in Colombia. So I believe that the message is clear for Pay Retailer. It's a top priority. We have over 25 employees in Chile and 25 also employees in Colombia, and we are strengthening our presence. It's very tech-savvy countries with very sophisticated population that want to have access to new forms of method. There is both have historically emerged, have monopoly in terms of payment scheme. For example, in Chile with Transbank, that was a former monopoly. And both basically have been opening to competition. You have, for example, in Colombia, over 100 local gateways. You can imagine in a market when in 10 years you have seen emerge a number of payment players. So both have been moving very fast on new payment method, either through online banking solution, instant payment solution. So you have, for example, in Chile, you have Kipu. In Colombia, you have PSE. I would say that today, if I am a merchant that wants to tackle Latin America, clearly Colombia and Chile needs to be a priority.
So the next point is, I suppose it's difficult to talk about Latin America without discussing Brazil, purely for the size, purely for the fact that it's such an influential country in terms of digital adoption. And as we've sort of mentioned with Pix already, this just absolutely impactful sort of juggernaut. As you said, Felipe, it's in a different category of its own. So I think I'll go to you first on this one, Patricia. So how has the landscape really been affected by fintechs?
Well, the thing is that, as we were discussing before, fintechs are playing a massive role in the LATAM region. Like large banks partner with or acquire fintechs to accelerate this digital adoption. Is the case, for example, of Pix, or the case of Rappi with Banco de Vivienda in Colombia. Those are examples that the traditional banking services, they want to catch up, you know, and they want to create these digital wallets, these online payment methods for its consumers.
And Felipe, is there anything you'd like to add to that?
Well, the fintech ecosystem in Latin America has been booming this last year with a lot of value proposition, a lot of innovation, some of the largest VC funding has been done in Latin America with companies behind Movile, like Napster, Rappi, Quintuandar. I mean, there is a number of players that have been boosting the ecosystem. It's very vibrant, that what we have been observing. And these are companies that we are actually partnering. In terms of PIGS and Brazil, what I would mention is that sometimes it's the advantage to be a front runner. You take risk, and you get, of course, a key competitive advantage. And it's what's happened in Brazil. You have, and I believe that we'll need some time to understand the why, because you have instant payment in other markets. In Portugal, you have MBWay. In the UK, you have faster payment. In India, you have EMPS. In Japan, you have Zengin. US will roll out FedNow in next year. But with different uptake. And this is the magic of the always the consumer choice. These are the ones that at the end made something a success or not. But clearly, it's a game changer for the country, and it has impact globally, because today is one of the most popular payment method worldwide. And when you look at the top 10, top 20 payment methods worldwide, you have one that belongs to one country. So this is really something interesting to point out.
Yeah, and as a Brazilian myself, I always love to hear that sort of stat, you know, just to hear how impactful and influential it really is. It always makes me quite proud. I'm always like, yeah, come on, Brazil. But speaking of the impact and like the influence, like let's have a look at some of the countries that have been influenced by this sort of Brazil and stuff. And that's Mexico. Being in Central America, Mexico is influenced by both North America, you know, the stuff that happens in the US and Canada, but it's also impacted massively by the stuff that we see happening in South America. For example, let's have a look at PIX. You have Codi, right, in Mexico. You have its version of a local payment service. And I suppose from a payment localization service such as yourselves, how are the key, like from your point of view, how are the key trends in this market then impacting countries, other countries, you know? So obviously, America, Brazil, they impact Mexico. How is Mexico then having its knock-on effect on other countries? Felipe, I'll go to you on this one.
Yes, I thank you very much. I confess that I have a crush on Mexico. Well, I feel Brazilian, but I have a crush on Mexico because I've lived in both countries, and Mexico is an amazing place, and really I would like to highlight this and to transmit to the audience and to the merchants that is a critical market to look at. When something happens in Mexico, it happens big. It's almost 130 million inhabitants, a powerful market that have a number of payment methods that are very attractive, like Pay, like online banking, but also you have many retailers that have been developing their own solution, like OXXO, for example. I believe that Mexico is between two worlds. You have on one side a giant that by nature is unchallengeable on the south, Brazil, even if it's always with love when we talk about Brazil. And on the other side, of course, you have this tremendous US market. So you have always an incentive, and you mentioned it very well on both sides of the border. But you have at the same time this capacity to have access to the most sophisticated market in the world like nobody have. That's why at Perry Taylor, we do believe that 2023 is the year of Mexico. Is the year of Mexico. There is a stable ecosystem in terms of payment. Of course, that we don't have yet there something like PIX that really transform the ecosystem, but it can be an advantage. It can be an advantage, because you have access to a number of tier one brands that have been developing their own wallet solutions, their all digital wallet solutions, so they can add much more value-added services that today you don't have at Pix yet. So clearly, Mexico, I'm very happy that you have been talking about Mexico. 2023 is the year of Mexico, definitively.
I think that the way you've put that is sort of a really exciting sort of, it creates this thrill, right? You know, there's this almost, it feels, untapped market. Sure, there's loads of people that have already expanded there, but just there's so much potential. And I think that's really what makes it so exciting. And I think, coming to you now, Patricia, I think if, like, we look at this excitement and sort of the build-up that it's really had, you've got to feel like that's going to seep down, right, into other countries, this sort of the excitement and sort of the build-up and sort of just the technological advancements of it, and this advantage that Felipe mentioned, that, you know, you don't have a Pix, but you have alternatives that are extremely exciting and are that people should be, you know, looking forward to. And I think this is especially prominent when you look at smaller countries like Guatemala and Nicaragua. You don't really hear about their developments as much, but of course they are growing and they are a very exciting opportunity in and of themselves. So how different would it be really for a merchant to expand to a country like Guatemala or Nicaragua when compared to an exciting opportunity such as Mexico? Like, are there different pros and cons, do you think, or what are your thoughts?
Thank you, Francis, for the question. I think Guatemala and Nicaragua are, like, have the highest forecast growth in e-commerce, probably for the next few years. It's forecast to grow around 40% between 2021 and 2025. When you compare that to other countries like Brazil or Chile, they show a modest 20 to 25% increase. But I still think there are some challenges in these small countries because they use, it's mainly common to use cash methods, which in comparison to Pix, like an instant payment method for specifically international businesses, it becomes more and more difficult as the confirmation time with cash methods in general is longer. So obviously the conversion rate that you get in this e-commerce is not as high as in places like in Brazil or in Colombia when you use credit cards. So obviously there are opportunities, but at the same time, I think these international businesses could also face some challenges. This is why we as pay retailers and localized firm, we want to help these merchants in order to face these issues.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, again, that sort of just highlights the importance of having this entity that can sort of be the middleman to help merchants where they otherwise probably wouldn't be able to. I know that, I believe it was in Mexico, but I can't remember the name of the service, but there's essentially sort of like you get a receipt and then you pay with cash and then it sort of acts as a digital payment. I can't remember the name of it.
So it's probably Oxo.
Yeah, I think that's the
Mexico?
One. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, is that something that we might see in these smaller countries, this sort of similar uptake?
They do have these kind of cash methods in Guatemala and Nicaragua. But as I was saying before, like in Oxo, for example, a person goes and pays the voucher in cash. And in order to confirm that transaction, Oxo has between 24 and 48 hours. Whilst if you pay with Spain, for example, that it's an instant payment method in Mexico, that transaction will be confirmed within minutes. So obviously for internal businesses, that means that, you know, they get this confirmation, so they are happier because they obviously have the sale already done. So that's kind of like the main challenge that you will see in these small countries, that they still don't have the technology to be able to have this instant confirmation.
But that's just a matter of time, right? Surely in a few years' time, we could expect to see a higher digital.
Yeah.
Just one point on this, because I believe it's important, Francis, is that in Central America, where Perry Taylor are investing, we are investing massively. We have an office in Costa Rica and a country manager. We are launching as well a local card offering. So it means that you will have access to the bank population, the population that have access to cards. The merchants will be able to tap this segment thanks to our coverage with local cards, with local conversion ratio. So about 80% versus international cards at 25%. And on top of that, you will have the cash payment that is more used by unbanked population. So you will have, Perry Taylor will be offering a very solid offering and value proposition in Central America.
And I think that leads on nicely to my penultimate question, really. And I think I'll go to you first here, Philippe, as you've sort of just been talking about it, really. And that's the main advantages of a payments localization service like Pay Retailers for cross-border entities. And you sort of touched on it there, but could you expand on that a little bit?
Because today, Pay Retailer have over 10 local offices in Latin America. So this is unique. I don't think that you can find such capillarity in the market space. So of course we are present in the big countries like Mexico, Colombia, Chile. We are present of course in the giant in Brazil, but also in Argentina, in Peru, in Paraguay, in Central America. So with Costa Rica, as I mentioned. So this gives access to a deep knowledge about the local regulation, but also a direct relationship with the local payment methods, with the local banks. We are Latin American. We have people all over Latin America, and a large part of our colleagues in Europe come from Latin America, as you have seen with our communication team. So I believe that this is unique. This gives a competitive edge to ease the rollout of services by merchants using Pay Retailer network.
Yeah, for sure. And Patricia, I just wanted to, Felipe just mentioned there sort of regulations, and isn't something we've really discussed, but of course that's a massive part of why having a payment localization service like Pay Retailers is so important, right? But are there, well, if you would like to expand on that, please do, but are there any other sort of main advantages really for cross-border entities, in your opinion?
Yeah, as Philippe explained, I think one of the most important notes to say to international businesses is that you're able to access the Latin American market without having a local entity. We know the market, our team is cross-border, so we're able to communicate with European or international cross-border businesses in English without any, are able as well to provide 250 different payment methods in 12 different countries in Latam. We are also able to settle the funds in whichever part of the world they want. So I think there are like many advantages of using Pay Retailers as your local firm in Latin America. We also give you a service that is 24/7. So also apart from your account, designated account manager, you're able to have a team that is fully dedicated to your account. So I think there are great opportunities in this market.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's definitely one to sort of for merchants to keep an eye on going forward. And I'm just a little bit aware of time now, so I think we'll wrap up with our final question. And And just, I think it's a nice way to end as well. And especially, you know, Felipe, as you mentioned, you joined 2 months ago as the chief commercial officer. And I think looking at pay retailers specifically, can you tell us about sort of the company's growth strategy and sort of recent success? And really, you said you had 10 offices in Latin America currently. You know, what's the plans for the future?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for this question. It's exciting times for pay retailers, because we have a unique positioning to address what I would call a 360 LATAM offering. So the historical and core business of pay retailer has been and is to bring international merchant through one single API, one-stop shop solution that do not have local entities in Latin America and enable them to sell their digital service directly to LATAM consumer using their local payment method. This is the core positioning, the historical core positioning of pay retailer, and we will keep working strongly and developing strongly this positioning to ease merchant life and at the end to provide to end consumers in Latin America top-notch solutions that are sold by international merchants. On the other side, with the acquisition of the companies that we have done last year in Colombia and in Chile, with the local presence, with over 10 offices in Latin America, we have a unique opportunity to offer also to Latin American merchants and also enable what I would call the intra-LATAM flow. So the development and the internationalization of Latin American companies across Latin America. So this is what I would call the 360 approach. International merchants to Latin America, Latin American merchants locally, and enable the internalization of Latin American merchants in other LATAM markets. And this is crucial point for us in order that we can really provide to the ecosystem and be able to follow our customers where they want to be tomorrow. And this is critical for pay retailers in the coming years.
Yeah, brilliant. And I wanted to just end with you, Patricia. And is there any final thoughts or recent successes that you would like to highlight?
Thank you, Francis. Well, just to give you an example, I started about a year and a half in the company. We were 60 employees, and now we are over 200 people, 3 new companies acquired. So I think it's just, you can see the growth and the success story about pay retailers.
Yeah, and I think, correct me if I'm wrong here, but that's only going to continue, right? It's not like so, that's hit a ceiling. Yeah, that's going to keep on going.
It is the beginning.
Exactly, there we go. It's only the beginning. It's an exciting time, and things should be, merchants and consumers alike should be excited about the opportunity in Latin America and what can be achieved with a localization service. Well, I want to thank you both so much for joining me today. I think it was a really interesting conversation, and it was a great insight to learn about the specific countries and sort of the trends that are happening, and sort of really sharing your expertise in the knowledge of these countries. And again, I just want to thank you both so much for joining. Felipe, Patricia, it's been a great conversation, and yeah, thank you ever so much.
Thank you very much. We are looking forward at Pay Retailer to hear from you in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Francis.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Times podcast. We hope you enjoyed the discussion as much as we did. Don't forget to check us out at thefintechtimes.com and subscribe to our monthly publication to keep up to date with all the latest fintech news.